got you shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank, word to Chris Hanks. Before to put it all together, this is big thanks. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016, like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never going hard as ever. The results
matter. Good morning and welcome to the Shrimp Tank. Thank you for joining us during your lunchtime here right on the Business Radio X Networks. I'm Ted Jenkin, your co-host, sitting with my co-host Chris Hanks, who's the executive director and founder of the Now Shore Center for Entrepreneurship at Kennesaw State. Now, what do we do here on the Shrimp Tank? Now, last week we had a great show. We brought on some of the kids from Kennesaw State who shared some of their brightest and best ideas. And you heard Rhody open up with the Shrimp Tank rap. Maybe he will become a rap mogul one day. We don't know that right now. But we love to bring on some of the brightest and best CEOs in and around the state of Georgia. We talk about the do's and don'ts of running, growing, and starting a business. And this is where you learn. How are you going to learn out there how to become an entrepreneur? Because we know this. This is how business grows in America. It grows on the back of small business owners, the people that go out there, they put their capital up, they put their blood, sweat, and tears into their business, and they grow new jobs. And that's the way that we make it happen. And Atlanta is growing like crazy. The entrepreneurship scene is growing here like crazy. We're very excited. We've got a guest on today. We'll bring on in a few minutes, Chris Dahl, who's the president and CEO of the Global Franchise Group. This is an amazing business. Now, we had Stan Friedman on a few weeks ago talking about franchising, but now we're going to talk about somebody who's really the CEO of running a whole bunch of franchises that are growing like crazy. And some of these names, I guarantee you that you heard of before, and we're going to talk about one today that I guarantee you have not heard of before, but will probably be in a living room near you very soon. So, Mr. Hanks, tell us what's going on at Kennesaw State. For those of you that don't know, Kennesaw State, I was just out there this week, exploding, not only the School of Selling, but now what Chris is running, which is the Center for Entrepreneurship. It's amazing stuff. So what's happening at Kennesaw State?
So top of mind right now, and our student guests as well, and myself will be at a retreat coming up. Not this weekend, right, Joey? Next weekend, is that correct?
That's right. Yes, sir.
Yes, we are going to spend Friday through Sunday together. So it's the first time we've attempted to take students from the Entrepreneurship Center away for a weekend to go deeper. And
is this like the Boy Scouts for Entrepreneurship or no? Is that what is this exactly?
Well, there might be a bonfire. So maybe that, you know, that part might be.
And Rhody rapping? Rhody rapping and a bonfire.
Rhody will have to be in charge of music. So Rhody rapping, because Rhody will also be joining us as well.
Outstanding.
Joey is going to be dancing to the rap, I guess. Is that what you're doing?
I wasn't told, but if it gets me in the class, it's negotiable.
Now, Joey, what do they do? What are you going to do at the Entrepreneurship Retreat? What's this all about? What do you expect to get away from this? As a student at Kennesaw State, rising in the entrepreneurship program, what do you expect to learn out of this?
Life change, no pressure. I think it's going to be great. I mean, we've never done this before for students, but Mr. Hanks has been talking about focusing on the why a lot over the weekend and really giving us that solid foundation to move forward in our businesses. Because in class, we've been talking about dispelling myths of entrepreneurship, like, I don't have a good idea, or I don't have the money to run with my idea, or all these different things, like entrepreneurship is too risky. And so we're getting that in class. And over the weekend, I think we're really going to drill down on that why, that motivation to keep us going. I'm looking forward to it.
Now, for those of you that don't know this, the Kennesaw State program, like you may send their kids to school one day to Kennesaw State to get a degree in entrepreneurship. It is the first university in the state of Georgia that will have an accreditation in entrepreneurship. You go for 4 years and get a degree. What they used to call that was drinking. That's what people did in college for 4 years. It was a degree. But, you know, it's an entrepreneurship. But right, when am I right in saying that kids like Joey, there's real no test? You don't have any tests that you take per se, standardized testing in these programs?
No, I don't. You know, the idea of bringing a number two pencil and filling out Scantron bubbles and regurgitating information that you memorized the night before, I mean, that doesn't really make you an entrepreneur. That doesn't create things. So the idea is like, look, and that's one of the ideas behind the retreats. We tend to remember what we experience. You know, we don't necessarily always remember the lectures or the facts and figures that we were forced to memorize, but we remember our experiences. So what we want to do is create experiences that really challenge and change these students. And, you know, and we can all discover together what's possible.
Well, I think it's amazing stuff. And I know Joey's going to be having some input today. Listen, I'm going to say this. In the next few years, you're going to see that in the state of Georgia, just how difficult it is to get into Kennesaw State. I think 5 years ago, people said, hey, Kennesaw State might be my safety school. Safe no more. 35,000 plus students at that school and going to be very difficult to get into. So amazing stuff. I'd like to bring on our guest today right here on the Shrimp Tank. Remember, you can always download iTunes for the Shrimp Tank if you want to listen to us in the car or any of our replays at shrimptankpodcast.com. We've had on 90 owners over the last 90 weeks. It's been amazing stuff. We have had anyone from the number one real estate agent in the country to top people in the security business. And today, I'm really excited to have you learn even more about franchising, because I think there are a lot of entrepreneurs that want to get into the franchising business. They don't understand exactly how it works. Well, today we have on Crystal, who's the president and CEO of the Global Franchise Group, who actually is running a mega business. This is a serious, serious business. And so I'm wondering before we start, Chris, if you can tell a little bit people about Global Franchise and just what's involved with it, and then we can get into the guts of talking about the business.
Sure. First of all, thanks for having me. This is a real honor. So Global Franchise Group is a multi-branded franchise company that operates the brands Great American Cookies, Marble Slab Creamery, Pretzel Maker, Maggie Moo's, and Hot Dog on a Stick, which is the one you probably haven't heard about.
I know.
You will. If you watched the Super Bowl a few years ago, you saw Katy Perry in a dress that looked a little bit like a beach ball. Those are the uniforms that we wear at Hot Dog
What?
On a Stick. That was actually a shout out to Hot Dog on a Stick. It's a very,
I'll watch anything that Katy Perry's wearing.
Yes,
really.
It's a very nostalgic California brand. But at GFG, we not only operate the business of franchising, we also have 70 corporate-owned locations, and we are vertically integrated through our manufacturing supply, where we make cookie doughs and pretzel flours and sell direct to our franchisees.
This is amazing stuff. You know, I think about the Great American Cookie, and I'm just thinking about it right now that one of the things that seems to happen in my office a lot is people get these cookie cakes today. You know, it's a cookie and it's got a whole bunch of icing, and everyone says that they're not going to eat it because, you know, they don't want to gain weight. But then by the end of the day, the entire cookie's gone. It's like, well, the cookie, how does one of those franchises work? You know, what are the economics behind it? Because my sense is a lot of those franchises, at least I'm thinking, are the ones that you see in a mall. Mm-hmm. At some point in the mall, I know there's three or four franchises I think I always see, and I always seem to think I see Great American Cookie in those places. How do the economics work behind one of those franchises?
Sure. Great American Cookies is a great brand. It actually was born here in Atlanta.
Was it really?
Yeah, wow. It was. Perimeter Mall was the first location.
Nice. No kidding.
I think I remember that.
Almost 40 years ago to the day.
Yeah.
So Michael Coles founded Great American Cookies right here.
Of Coles College of Business.
About that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's why he's the name on the building.
Yes. So very innovative guy, great entrepreneur. And he put a model together that really does work. So when you look at Great American Cookies, average unit volume for one of those stores is roughly $500,000.
Wow.
And
just selling cookies.
And cookie cakes. So you hit on that. The cookie cake is our hero product. It differentiates us from any other cookie concept. We can specialize and decorate cakes to your liking, however that is. Mm. And so we do a great business with cookie cakes. And when you look at the profitability of a GAC store, you're looking at a 20% margin, 19.5% margin on $500,000. And this is a business that only takes, you know, $200,000, $250,000 to start up. So your return on investment is very, very strong. And your ongoing cash flow and income from operations is also very strong. It's one of the few concepts where when you hit a home run, you don't have to open five of them to make a really good living.
We touched on this briefly before the show, but I'm curious now that Amazon seems to basically be slaying retailers by the week. A store like a Great American Cookie, is it affected at all in the reduction of the amount of people that are going to the malls today? And then how does a franchise like that adapt itself to the change to continue to be profitable?
Sure. Definitely the American mall is a concern to any retailer that spends some time in that environment. You see declining traffic. You see an environment where there tends to be some level of crime that affects shopping patterns. And also, you know, in a mall environment, you do pay some pretty hefty rents to be there. The mall's promising you traffic and you pay for that. So, you know, with all of those things, being on the forefront of mall and mall retail, you have to have a strategy to get off mall. Mm-hmm. You have to have a strategy to evolve your business to where you can successfully operate and generate revenues and a nice income, not counting on the 18 million people that walk through the door every year.
It's amazing stuff.
So your typical franchisee, who is that kind of person who owns the cookie store or the hot dog on the stick? I mean, what kind of people do you attract?
So it runs the gamut, okay? So we definitely have your very seasoned, multi-unit, multi-branded franchise operator who is a part of our system and is drawn to our concepts. But we also have, you know, individuals who have spent the first 10, 15 years of their life as a school teacher that really wanted to do something that was a little more entrepreneurial, and they have a love for baking, or they are very fond of cookie cakes and how they've affected their life. And so they find themselves online looking at the possibility of becoming their own boss, and they're drawn to that concept, and they start out as a single store operator and build from there.
And how do you, you know, when you're running multiple brands, because I want to go back and mention the brands in a few minutes that are underneath this global franchise group, how do you build culture? Because, you know, you're the president and CEO. Obviously, you've got to build culture in your company, yet each of these franchises somewhat probably have their own subculture. How do you lead that as the CEO of a gigantic company?
Sure. So there is definitely a culture for GFG. So Global Franchise Group, we champion brands and the people who build them, and that's what we do every day. But each one of our brands have their very own brand identity, their very own brand pyramid, and, you know, for Great American Cookies, it's about making fond memories. And so the team that operates Great American Cookies, that is the vision that they march to. And we have brand silos that deal with the operations, the training, the marketing, the research and development, and all the things that drive the brand level execution, and they're living their own vision underneath the GFG model of championing brands and people who build them.
Hey, you're listening to the Shrimp Tank right here on the Business Radio X Networks. If you've ever been down to Sandy Spring, you ought to come down here and check it out and talk to Ryan Redhawk about hosting your own program here, because the radio station is blowing up. I'm joined today by Joey from Kennesaw State is with us. We'll get him to ask some questions here in just a minute. Chris Hanks, my co-host, is the executive director and founder at the Now Shore Center for Entrepreneurship. And of course, our guest today, Chris Dahl, who's the president and CEO of the Global Franchise Group. There are brands that are in here today like Marble Slab Creamery or Maggie Moo's, Pretzel Maker. And well, I want to talk in a minute after Joey gets asked a question about this one that's coming that I like called Hot Dog on a Stick. Hot dog on a stick. Just that one's going to be a big one. I got a good feeling about that. I'm going to say why in just a minute, but go ahead.
It's a strong future. So you talked about brand identity a little bit, and where do you draw the line between giving a franchisee autonomy to run their business, but then still having oversight as a franchisor?
Sure. So the whole model of franchising is about having a set course that an individual can take, which will lead them to profitability and success. Mm-hmm. But franchising is a relationship between two parties, a franchisor and a franchisee. And so involving your franchisee in the communications about the direction that the brand is going with product, with brand identity, signage, and things of that nature create buy-in and unity. And that's where you see franchise companies really create some momentum and growth, because they're aligned and the franchisees feel like they're more than just, you know, operating a model. They're a part of the model and they're a part of the evolution of the business.
You know, when you look at this franchising business, and I think about ones that may be a winner or a loser, and I'm wondering, because you've probably seen a lot of them in your career, and I noticed in a place like the Shark Tank, a successful franchise like Tom and Chi, I think, got up to maybe $50 million in sales, and they're growing, and you've got this new concept called Hot Dog on a Stick, which I definitely want you to tell everyone about it, and
sure.
Then how do you know as a CEO, because you've done so many of these, when a franchise is going to be a winner or just maybe a decent idea that's a business?
Absolutely. So, you know, GFG, we are an acquisition-based company, so we're looking at concepts all the time to bring into our umbrella of businesses. Hot Dog on a Stick, it's funny to call it new because it's 70 years old, started in California in 1947, and it started with a guy who was on the beach and said, you know, I bet I could do $1 million in sales if I was just selling lemonade. And so... his friend challenged him, and he opened a concept called Puff Puffs, which was corn dogs and freshly stomped or freshly made lemonade in the store. And he did the $1 million, and he changed the name to Hot Dog on a Stick. And it is an iconic California-based concept that sells the turkey dog, the beef dog, cheese on a stick, French fries, and freshly made lemonade. The best lemonade you will ever drink.
It's guaranteed, Hanks, that since Prop 64 passed, when recreational goes legal in California in 2018, hot dog on a stick sales will double.
Sales are going
or
up.
Or triple.
Yes.
You never knew how bad you needed a turkey corn dog until, you know, that. And I don't know where the Puff Puff thing came in here, but I'm thinking it's all coming full circle here.
It's all coming around.
Yeah, I just see it here.
I love that the idea started with, hey, I bet you I could, right? Mm-hmm. And his challenge accepted.
Yeah, guy was an engineer. Had no experience in food whatsoever, but he loved playing beach volleyball.
Is that something that you could take to stadiums and things like that even? You know, I've just noticed that there's always been the regular hot dog that's been there, but I don't often see corn dogs or you know, hot dog on a stick. I don't see it.
Yeah, it's definitely a concept that would work in alternative venues, whether it's stadiums, airports, travel centers, anywhere where you've got people moving through and want something that's portable.
Is that just West Coast now?
No, we actually have our first store in Atlanta. It's open up at Kennesaw Town Center, so close to the university.
Wow. Nice. All right, Joey.
A little field trip, maybe?
Yeah, right before class. Yeah. We can get a hot dog on a stick.
I will take the class and pay for a hot dog on a stick for everybody. I'll do it.
There you go. All right.
Right here. I set it right on the shrimp tank.
Come on, today at 5.
So one thing I'm curious about, you know, if you've got all of these individual folks that have to sort of carry forth the brand, how do you select the right franchisee? What steps do you go through to make sure you get the right people?
Sure. So franchisee selection is terribly important. You make a mistake with a franchisee, it can cost you a lot of time, a lot of headache, and in a lot of cases, some money too. So we do a vetting process where we have a series of, you know, trigger points that the prospect has to go through where, based on our experience, we can tell if this is someone who's going to take to a system well, or if they're going to want to do their own thing a little bit more, then follow the path that's been cut. And so, you know, it all kind of leads up to a discovery day process where these individuals are meeting with the business leaders and sitting down and talking about their vision for their business and if it aligns with what we're trying to do. And that for us is really the telltale. So,
yeah, well, one thing I was reminded of is, since we're just coming off of this, the Super Bowl, and this idea of like a Tom Brady who barely made it to the NFL, right? And had such phenomenal success. And there was an article I just read talking about how horrible we are at predicting NFL success. You know, how are we any better at predicting entrepreneurial success? So even in talking to those people, how can you, like, is there anything you look for specifically that can distinguish the person who can really scale a franchise and do well with it versus somebody who may not?
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up. I'm in the middle of reading The Undoing Project, which is a book about decision-making and biases, and it starts off talking about NFL draft picks and things of that nature. And so there is valuable data that you can pull from your most successful franchisees to try to lay against a prospect that helps you to have a better call than a gut. You know, a lot of people say trust your gut, but sometimes your gut can be terribly wrong.
Absolutely.
And first impressions can be far from accurate. So there is a more scientific way to do it. I can't tell you today that GFG has locked that in, but definitely looking into some better ways to predict success in business operation.
Well, we're going to take a quick break from our sponsors. And when we come back on the Shrimp Tank with Chris Stoll, we're going to talk a little bit more about our hot or not section. And should you hire employees that are your family in your business when you come back right here on the Shrimp Tank?
In business, it's either time or money. How much money does your business lose if your network is down for a day? How much time do your employees waste trying to fix computer issues? At Savant, we have the experts to work on your network to simply make your company run more efficiently. Macs, PCs, mobile solutions, no problem. Savant's battery life never ends. Call 770-438-6240 today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Shrimp Tank. I'm your co-host, Ted Jenkins, sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who's the executive director and founder of the booming Shore Center for Entrepreneurship, the number one school for entrepreneurship in Georgia, the only university that has an accreditation in entrepreneurship. We're sitting here with Joey, who's a rising star in the entrepreneurship program. We got to hear his ideas last week. If you want to hear all of them, you go to shrimptankpodcast.com, or you can always download us on iTunes and hear everything that we're doing right here on The Tank. We get to interview. We're very lucky, very fortunate to interview some of the brightest and best presidents and CEOs across the state of Georgia, and seeing how they run businesses with the idea of helping you not make those mistakes, the mistakes that you could make in your business. Because I'll tell you what, running a business is not easy. Don't let anybody kid you. It seems like the dream, but the dream also comes with hard work. And it isn't going to happen just because you show up one day. So I'm curious, as we start off this section here, Chris, that we call a hot or not, I'm curious first, because you are a franchising business, does a franchisee, is it hot or not, do they have to have a business plan?
They absolutely should have a business plan. And as a Z of Great American Cookies or any of our other brands, you have to have a business plan in order to be considered. Someone who goes into a startup business without a plan is, no plan is a plan for disaster. So, you know, definitely understanding, you know, what you think you can do and what, and knowing what your short and long-term goals are when you start are very important to the success of your overall operation.
Do most people go in with the idea that I'm going to do one franchise to get a second, or is it set something that just materializes itself once people realize how the economics work?
So most people will come in with a bit of a grandiose plan of, I want to own 100 of these, but I'm going to start off with 5. And our advice is, let's do one. So, you know, let's crawl before we run. And, you know, you may get into the business and discover that you don't like the smell of ice cream, you know? And so while you've gone into this plan with, I'm going to, you know, I need 5 of these, you may determine very quickly that this just is not right for you. It's not a good fit. And so, you know, let's do one, and let's make sure that one is a success and that you're enjoying the business and that we're enjoying the business together. And then let's start looking at opportunities for expansion.
Mm-hmm. So hot or not, franchise brokers?
Hey, I say not.
So you say not. Interesting.
I say not. We don't use franchise brokers.
But is that because of your the kinds of concepts that you have? Like, are they hot, you think, for different types of franchisors, maybe even service related or more unusual or unknown concepts?
I sat on a panel last week with a gentleman who owns OxyFresh, and his exclusive development plan is through brokers, and it works great for him. And I think in a lot of service-based franchises, it can work well. When you have brands like ours that are trying to connect people with, you know, these delicious, craveable products and a memorable experience, it takes a very unique individual to do that from an operator perspective. Brokers tend to bring all candidates, and if you turn their candidates down because they don't meet your model, then you stop seeing their candidates. And also, a broker who hears, we want you to do one first, that's not music to their ears, because they get compensated on the multiple. So for our business and the way that we believe a franchising business should be developed, it isn't something that we believe in.
Nice. I like your nail it then scale it idea there. Hot or not, bonuses for employee ideas that improve the company?
Absolutely.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Hiring?
Yeah, we are. Anytime you can get ideas either from your employees or your franchisees that result in business growth or development of the brand overall, they should be compensated for that.
So how do you do that? I mean, do you give them a cookie cake, or do you say, hey, $500? I mean, how do you put a value on it?
It's a cookie for you.
Well, in a lot of cases, employees that generate winning ideas find themselves being advanced much quicker than those who fill a cube. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, we're an entrepreneurial business. We're very innovative, and those who are driving innovation are the ones who are going to be successful and have growth in our company.
Hot or not here, is it a good idea to own franchises in different verticals? So in this case, you know, if your company has different verticals, should I own 3 Great American Cookies, or should I diversify and own 1 hot dog on a stick and 1 Great American Cookie? Is there any pros or cons to doing that?
So in our business, we definitely have franchisees who float across multiple brands.
Really?
Yes. And I think it really depends on what your your long-term vision is and what the availability is in your market. For instance, if you wanted to open a Great American Cookies location in Atlanta, we would be hard-pressed to find one location for you. But if you wanted to open Hot Dog on a Stick in Atlanta, there's a multitude of locations.
Oh, so it's not a master. The person open here in Atlanta doesn't own the Atlanta area right now?
No, we have several franchisees in this market. We don't believe in the master franchising model domestically. We do internationally, but in a domestic basis, there is no exclusivity.
Lee Heisman needs one in downtown Woodstock. Do you not? A little Hot Dog on a Stick? I'll split with you. One in Alpharetta and one in Kennesaw, one in Woodstock. All right.
So it's delicious. Prevent them, though, from going, like, is there anything in your franchise agreements that prevents me from maybe owning Hot Dog on a Stick and a Carvel ice cream?
We do have non-compete in our franchise agreements, but that would not be a competing business.
That would not be, right.
If you were looking at owning a Carvel and a marble slab, that would definitely be a conflict.
Okay.
Would you say hot or not filling manager level positions from outside the company?
I think that you got to take the best talent you can get. And if you don't have the talent inside the business to do the job you need to do, then definitely going outside to find that talent is a must.
Hot or not, have a mascot for your business?
We do.
Do you really?
We do have.
Is there a Great American Cookie mascot?
Our mascot.
Stick, I'm really curious about that.
We do not have a mascot for Hot Dog on a Stick.
I get students on that.
Puff Puff the Magic Dragon now. So we could bring that back, you know, Hank.
Yeah, Joey, we could have a student project on that, you know, maybe for our class, right?
Do you have one for Great American Cookie?
We do. It's his name is George A. Cookie.
Nice.
George A. Cookie.
No kidding.
Yeah, kids love George A.
And George A. goes to the malls and hangs out with
them. He does. He'll be at our 40th birthday party. The good news for me is that I'm too tall to wear the George A. Cookie outfit, so I'm
not.
Yeah, I'm the blue tights.
I was just asking because I think I've noticed a trend in commercials. A lot of these big companies have actually gone away from people and have gone to animals or, you know, animated characters that basically sell the product. And I wondered if that changed the advertising or how you all advertise the product differently today.
For us, the mascot is used almost exclusively through events and reach out. You know, our marketing plans are driven more around product and promotion and not using a spokesperson or spokes gecko to present.
So hot or not, absentee ownership?
Not.
You don't allow it?
We do allow it, but only when it is an established franchisee. A new franchisee coming into the business who thinks they're going to be able to run this from a remote location.
Can't do it. Is
making a huge mistake.
All right, we're going to take a quick break from our sponsors. That was a really great hot or not section. Got a lot of great information there today. When we come back, we're going to do our plead the fifth section. I wonder what Chris Hanks is going to come up with after the break here. We know this. We get right back with Chris Doll right here on the Shrimp Tank.
Does it seem like the more money you make, the more money slips through your fingers? Why is it that you make six figures, but seem to have six figures worth of bills? Now it's time to get a plan. Set up time today to start your 21-day budget cleanse. Go to OxygenFinancial.net to schedule a complimentary meeting now. Go to OxygenFinancial.net to get started today. Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC, an affiliate of Kestra Investment Services. Oxygen is not affiliated with Kestra.
That was your disclosure part of the show. We're right back here on the Shrimp Tank on the Business Radio X Networks. I'm Ted Jenkins, your host, sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks. We're also with Joey here from KSU and, of course, our guest, Chris Doll, who's the president and CEO of the Global Franchise Group. Great brands that we're hearing about today. The one that I think you're going to see more sounds like one came in Atlanta here called Hot Dog on a Stick. I am craving a corn dog, I have to say, after hearing this right now. But obviously, the biggest part of their franchise being the Great American Cookie. Tons of locations that you've seen in malls across America. Marble Slab Creamery, Maggie Moo's, and Pretzel Maker, all kinds of stuff. These are great brands that you've all tasted and love. And so the question is, how do you run these type of businesses? How do they work? Do you want to get involved with them? And if you're thinking about franchising as a whole, no better to learn than from somebody that's running hundreds and hundreds of franchises. So we get to this portion of our show that we call to be the plead the fifth section. I guess Chris gets one opportunity to say, I plead the fifth. I wonder what kind of questions we'll come up with today, but I thought I would start with this. Because I guess you look at a lot of these, what's the worst franchising concept that you've seen that you can remember, or a really, really bad one?
So how many times do I get to plead the fifth? Yeah, one time, huh? Well, so I'll use personal experience. One of the concepts that we owned at one point was the athlete's foot, which is...
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. They were in malls. Yes. That competed with Foot Locker and all kinds of stuff like that.
And the athlete's foot was a business that was derived off of a corporate store base of athletic footwear sold at retail. The franchise model was very difficult in that business because you're solely reliable on footwear producers like Nike and Reebok and the like. And if they decide not to play, then as a franchisor, you have very little control and very little power.
Right.
And so the athlete's foot was a very, very difficult franchise model. Great business, but from a franchising perspective, it was next to impossible.
For Chris and Joey Dewan here, was there a best concept that you didn't get? Like, it was like a movie role you passed on that you just didn't get somewhere that...
So, yeah, I've looked at a bunch of stuff, and one of my favorite concepts that just recently went through a transaction is a concept called Nothing Bundt Cake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're great. We order from them now. We give out client gifts. They make 16 little Bundt cakes, and they put your flags in them. They're tasty, too.
They're delicious, and it's a great unit-level...
Tasty stuff?
Yeah, and it's a great unit-level economic. It's a great business model. They're a young franchisor that's done things the right way and was a concept that I was very hopeful would find its way into the fold of GFG, but did not.
Ah, love it. Nothing Bundt Cakes. Yes, good stuff.
So, in my experience with franchising, there's all these cliches that are out there, like work on your business, not in your business, and things like that. What's the franchise cliche that annoys you the most?
Well, there's this new cliche of major in the majors and not in the minors, which is a concept of focusing on the most important things and not worrying about the minutia. And I think that's tomfoolery. Yeah. The little things can come up and bite you, and it can sting just as bad as the big. So you need to be in control of most things in your business, big and small.
Nice. What do you say is one way that you plan on changing this year in order to improve your business?
Sure. So a change that we've just deployed is really about empowerment at the brand level. So GFG is a shared service model where there are things where each of the brands do not manage independently, like construction or real estate or sales. That's shared across all brands. This year, we are going to more of an independent management style where the executive vice presidents of each of the brand actually manage all things that relate to the growth and the ongoing operation. And so we think that that is going to create greater accountability and long-term success for the businesses.
Best mall franchise that you've ever seen? And I think you've probably seen them all, but the best one that you've ever seen?
Great American Cookies. Nice. That was easy. Nice answer. Thanks for the layup. Yeah.
Is a franchise like Annie Ann's very profitable franchise?
It is. And we own Pretzel Maker, which is a very similar...
Is that a competitive?
It is a direct competitor.
You better kick there, you know what.
I don't think so.
It's tough.
I think that, it's a concept that relies on the mall.
Right.
And, we are looking at evolving Pretzel Maker so that it is not a mall-based business and can survive in various and sundry other locations. But when I look at being completely mall dependent, that's a big problem.
I'm curious in this because, when you have these types of mall snacks or treats or things like that, does the world of this, Uber Eats and things like that, does that change the business at all? That, I have to think some days, I wouldn't mind getting a Great American Cookie delivered to my house, but is an Uber Eats going to drive one of those over to my house?
They will.
For real?
As will Grubhub or any DoorDash or any of the others. Hmm. So, and it does change the model. So when you look at, and the reason I like Great American Cookies as a mall-based franchise is because 30% of our business comes to the mall to pick up cookie cakes. And Annie Ann's is not seeing 30% of their traffic who came to the mall to eat at Annie Ann's.
Nobody's going for some cinnamon nuggets there.
Correct.
It's
complete impulse. And so now when you add the delivery component, you don't have to go to the mall. You can simply go on the app, order your cake, and it can be brought to your home within an hour.
Yeah. So especially for mall-based stores, what would you say is the future of marketing?
Of marketing?
Yep.
Well, I think a lot of mall-based businesses haven't had to market because they've had the mall do it for them. And I think that as a mall-based retailer with declining traffics, you have to be more proactive in going and acquiring your customer. So I think that you're going to see some retailers that have been lazy in the marketing world that are now going to have to get on their game and start really making a push to draw their customers into their stores.
So in the FDD, or the franchise disclosure document, you have to do some disclosures of you. Since you're the CEO, there has to be personal disclosures about you, correct?
That's correct.
So what's the most embarrassing thing that you would hate for your franchisees to find out about you?
Well, we had a party yesterday. I think I did some dancing. And that could be pretty incriminating.
Really? Was it worse than the Arthur Blank dance that has been going on?
I don't know. Anything could be worse than that. It was really bad.
I was actually thinking really about that while I was dancing and trying not to be that guy.
Trying to not be that guy? So you're consciously thinking about that while you're busting a move?
That's correct.
So have you ever tried to eat one whole cookie cake by yourself? Have you ever tried like a down and one? Like, you know, they have those shows on the food shows that say, could you eat like the 96 ouncer and stuff like that?
I mean, yeah, or if you, there's a cheeseburger that if you finish it, you get a $500 for finishing it.
Because I think one thing we should do in here is we should challenge ourselves to have one day, maybe we'll do it on air to see if we could eat a cookie cake. So you could eat a whole one cookie cake.
Oh, it's on. I could totally do that.
You're on, Joey?
Challenge accepted.
At least on a program, but we'll make him on for a day.
I think I've probably eaten a whole cookie cake, just not in one sitting.
In one sitting. Yeah. I was going to say, that would be really difficult. I like that challenge here, somewhere along the way to be able to do that. I want to ask you one last question on here, and then we'll tell folks about how they can get in touch with you. As this franchising models evolve, do you like this idea of the store-in-store concept? I noticed that, you know, you'll see two franchises that seem to co-locate in one piece of real estate, and there's sort of a, it's like a cross-collateralizing process of getting people to buy each other's product. Do you see that happening in the franchising business as a whole, in your franchising business?
I can tell you that co-branding as a rule has not been terrifically successful.
Not.
But we actually do have a co-brand model that has surprised us with the success that it's delivering to our franchisees, and that is the co-branding of Great American Cookies and Marble Slab Creamery in off-mall locations.
Wow.
So
it's a single standing
store? It's a single standing store with both brands. And the interesting thing is, and the reason it works so well, is the cookie cake becomes extremely convenient because you're no longer having to go through the mall to get it. And so we see meaningful cookie cake sales in that box. At the same time, ice cream is a nighttime business. About 80% of your sales come after dark. So you're operating a store for, you know, several hours during the day where you do little to no sales. But when we add the cookie base to the concept from open until 5 o'clock, you're dealing with people coming in and out of the store to get the cookie cakes and cookie trays and things of that nature. And so you've created sales and hours where otherwise you had none. So the stores do higher volume and there is significantly greater flow through. We actually thought it would be cannibalistic, but it was not cannibalistic at all and was actually very synergistic, and you're creating a treat opportunity that serves multiple purposes.
So is that corporate owned, or do you have a franchisee who's paying both franchise fees for both concepts?
Yes, it's a franchise base. We have no company owned store.
So no company. So somebody would have to buy two units to do the co-branding?
Yeah, we discount the second brand within the box.
Well, Chris, we appreciate you coming on the show today. I think it was one of our best interviews in hearing about these kinds of businesses. Very tricky to navigate and to know what you're doing, but certainly, for those people that are out there that are thinking to themselves, maybe I need to get a Great American Cookie franchise. I guess you can't get one in Atlanta, but maybe there's one out there that you can get, or this new hot dog on a stick concept. How can people get in touch with you and your company to learn more about what you do and maybe get affiliated with your company?
Sure. Globalfranchise.com is our website, and you can definitely find us there. And then if you do a Google search for any of our brands, it'll take you to a franchising website that'll give you all the information about how to be your own boss.
Well, just because we had fun today, and I know Lee Heisman wanted us to do this, if you go today to shrimptankpodcast.com and you drop in your email, we will do a drawing at the end of this week, and we will give free Great American Cookie birthday cakes to everybody in your family over the next year. Now, I say this not knowing if you have 17 kids or you have one, but we'll take our chances on here. Go to shrimptankpodcast.com. Drop in your email today. We would love to hear from you and hear more about the show. Don't forget to download us on iTunes to get the Shrimp Tank. And thanks so much, Chris, for coming on the show today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right, folks. Well, that wraps it up here on the Shrimp Tank. Thanks for joining us during your lunch hour. And stay tuned. We'll have our post-show wrap-up. You can always catch it on YouTube and more great information from Chris. And thanks so much for listening to the Shrimp Tank. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it take a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it take a swim, only option is